back on the record with Ms. Hershey and the appellant.
Ms. Hershey, I think we're on page 4 of your report.
Okay.
Can you just summarize for us briefly what the first two bullet points on that page tell us?
So I have number 1 and number 2? Oh, no, at the top of the page?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, it points to an evaluation of crash data that shows the fact that when bicycles crash with large vehicles, they're much more likely to cause severe, those crashes will much more likely result in severe injury or death to a bicycle. And that occurs at any speed. One of our safety strategies is to keep speeds low to reduce deaths, but when it involves a large truck, it's at any speed.
So the right in the middle of the page, there's a sentence that begins, industry design guidelines. What are you summarizing for us there?
What I'm summarizing are the resources found that provide direction on how to select appropriate alignments for a two-way multi-use bicycle path. So the first one is from the National Association of City and Transportation Officials, or NACTO, which is kind of the go-to document for a lot of bicycle designers, called Urban Bikeway Design Guide. And those bullets summarize the conditions, their guidelines for conditions. So number one is on streets with few conflicts, such as driveways or cross streets on one side of the street. Later on, I've quantified the number of driveways that there are for each alternative and the no-build condition. The second bullet's on streets where there is not enough room for a one-way cycle track or both sides of the street. On streets where contraflow bicycle travel is desired, sometimes it occurs on one-way streets, or some other condition to connect bicycle facilities. On streets where more destinations are on one side, thereby reducing the need to cross the street. Then I went to City of Vancouver. Transportation design guidelines, all ages and abilities, cycling routes, City of Vancouver, in British Columbia, and just summarize their rule number 10 in their guidelines. And it says, design intersections thoughtfully to reduce conflicts, increase visibility, and provide clear direction of movement. So I'm focusing on the language that says to reduce conflicts. And then I did have a conversation with the City of Vancouver engineer responsible for their bicycle design program, and he also directed me below to the Massachusetts DOT separate bicycle design guidelines, as well as Bicycle Planner Minnesota directed me to Massachusetts DOT as well. Oh, and I might add that in my conversation with the City of Vancouver, and he sent an email summarizing our conversation, the City of Vancouver, British Columbia, no longer does two-way cycle tracks in their city. Then the Massachusetts DOT separated bike lane planning and design guideline, which I mentioned a number of agencies pointed me to that. I summarized one bullet from their guidelines, minimize exposure to conflicts, and it states in urban areas, the majority of crashes between bicyclists and motorists occur at intersection driveways that are often related to turning or merging movements. And then finally, because it's brand new and was adopted only in November, it's SDOT's new Streets Illustrated, but they also describe guidelines for two-way cycle tracks and need to reduce conflicts.
And then the last paragraph on that page, what is reflected in that statement on your part?
I've been asked over and over if I could find any examples of bicycle facilities in industrial areas with heavy truck volumes. And there had been a number of just anecdotal examples brought forward to me. And in each case, when I investigated the example, it was not comparable to this condition at all. So therein lies a challenge in how to design a safe bicycle facility in this along Shoshone Avenue, as we're not finding any examples where it's done elsewhere, likely because it's not a good place to put bicycle and pedestrian facilities.
So you said you couldn't find a comparable example. What did you do to try and find a comparable example?
I called various major cities. So again, the city of Vancouver. I'm not going to be able to recall every street name, but there was someone had cited an example in the city of Vancouver of a bicycle facility through an industrial area, and I talked to the engineer there, and he pointed me to where it was on Google, and it looked similar, except for the fact that that project created a viaduct, and the bicycle and pedestrian facility was on the viaduct, and so they were separated from the industrial activity at street level. A lot of people have cited the Seawall Trail in Vancouver. That particular facility is, as it describes, is against the seawall, and so there's no driveways on the seaside, and on the upland side is, for a lot of it's a grassy area, and the industrial area is quite a distance from the bicycle trail itself, so there's literally no driveways on either side of that trail.
And
there's other examples.
Did you talk to people in other cities, and if so, which ones?
I talked to City of Minneapolis. They do have they had one example of a buffered bike lane in an industrial area. However, it was very different in that the area was all flat. It was light industrial, so there was quite a long sloping area, grassy, until you got to the light industrial buildings away from the road. So it's probably 100 yards or so where the industrial activity was from the street in that condition.
And other cities?
I had a conversation briefly with Washington, D.C., didn't find examples that were comparable.
So based on the conversations you had and your review of the literature.
Oh, and I called Portland.
Portland?
Yeah.
Did you find a trail anywhere in the country, a two-way side path that has the kinds of conflicts that Mr. Bishop described in his testimony?
I haven't yet.
I object to the question. She's just testified to calling four or five cities, and now we've had a question that asked if she found anywhere in the country based on those conversations.
The question was broader than that based on her research and her conversations. I'm asking whether she found any. And if you want to, that seems to me an objection to the weight of the question or the answer, but not to the appropriateness of the question itself.
I agree. It's overruled. If she's found none in the country because she's called four cities, that's in the country.
That's what I found.
Called 50 cities, it'd be different.
And again, the question was based on your review of the literature and your conversations. Did you find a comparable facility anywhere in terms of conflicts?
I haven't yet found one.
And why did you choose the cities you chose, Vancouver, Portland, Minneapolis, and Washington, D.C.?
They're all considered bicycle cities, that they're cities that are kind of on the forefront of developing bicycle facilities and have higher levels of bicycle use in their cities.
Okay, so turning then to the last paragraph in your report, above heading number 3, explain what you're telling us there.
So what I'm explaining there is the fact that large trucks have very large blind spots. There's a very, very large blind spot to the right and behind a large truck. So this would affect...
Well, specifically, I'm referring to where you're talking about developing a quantified analysis. What are you talking about?
Oh, the paragraph above. Sorry. Given what we're trying to do is determine, provide information to decision makers and determine a difference between alternatives, what I attempted to do is take some of these design guidelines about conflict what we know about operating characteristics of large vehicles and prepare a quantified analysis of conflict and level of risk between each of the alternatives. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes. Yeah. And is there any such quantified analysis in the EIS?
No.
So what did you do then to develop? Describe for us what you did to develop that quantified analysis.
So,
just in general terms.
Okay.
it would help.
Oh, I see. Okay.
One, that's fine.
No. I can do it generally. What I did was a brainstorming effort using research to think through what are all the possible safety factors we might consider in designing or developing a trail facility. So it would be number of signalized intersections, number of unsignalized, number of driveway crossings by type, be it residential, commercial, heavy, industrial, number of driveway crossings for the contraflow movement. One could also look at the user's perception of personal safety. Can't remember what all I came up with. And there's others I came up with, but they weren't really determinant here. Oh, the lane widths and the width of the facility itself and the width of the buffer and whether or not they met standard would be a safety factor.
And before we turn...
Inside distance.
Before we turn the page, the second to the last paragraph there. You say you have a sentence that says four lines down, large projects such as those developed by WSDOT and Sound Transit or Sound Transit typically develop designs to the 30% level so that the impacts can be sufficiently disclosed. Again, how many projects have you worked on where that was done?
I've worked on 12 major NEPA-SEPA projects, and that's where that approach was taken.
And later in that same paragraph, you said, you have the second to your last sentence says, the DEIS and FEIS appear to rely on concept-level design approximately 5 to 10%. And so why do you characterize it as 5 to 10%? I mean, what about it leads you, based on your experience, to put it at that level?
Well, the city produced, as Vic Bishop testified, CAD drawings. So there are lines on paper that are overlaid with aerial photographs to show the design relative to the existing condition. But it's not, as he pointed out, it's not taken far enough to fully design, to fully understand the impacts, for example, at Market Street and 24th, to fully understand the impacts at select more complex driveways and whether or not there needs to be a right-of-way take to provide for the safe movement, for the movement of truck across driveways.
Okay, and before we turn the page, in your review of the literature, did you find a study anywhere that concluded that two-way cycle paths are not more dangerous than one-way facilities?
I didn't find that, no. I'd like to provide one more example as I think of it for the level of design is in the FEIS, I think it's figure 1-3. Shows the cross section for various segments along the preferred alternative, and in each case, on Market Street, it says lane widths are 10 to 12 feet. On Shoshou, two different, I think there's a segment that's 10 to 11 feet, etc. Well, in each case, they only provide a range for the lane width, so they haven't, to me, it appears that they haven't taken the design far enough to be specific. And on those streets, the standard is 11 feet. So we actually don't know when they get into further into design if that lane width will be 10 feet or 11 feet.
And one width being below standard and one meeting standard?
Correct. And the below standard at 10 feet would be more appropriate is a design dimension we use on neighborhood streets to keep traffic slow, but inappropriate for major streets where large trucks need a little more flexibility to stay within the lane.
So, turning the page then to your table one, there's a lot of information here, and we're not going to walk through it cell by cell, but if you can explain to us in general terms what you did here, and then I'm going to direct your attention to a couple of specific rows.
Okay, so for all those safety factors that I prepared, the safety factors are listed in the left-hand column, and it goes on to two pages. There's a very, very brief summary of what the analysis is for that safety factor, and in the text of the document, it will have a paragraph for each.